up this afternoon on the drive, that was one of the songs we were actually singing, so that was a blessing to hear that again. It's a joy for me to be here tonight. What a privilege. Brother Haynes, I'm glad I get to share this tonight with you. And before we get started, I want to first make a presentation from our pastor. So Brother Morris, if you can help me. Brother Haynes, if you could come up here for just a second. Somebody's faithful in one pulpit for 10 years, you honor that. And you're thankful for it. The average stay of a pastor in his pulpit these days is around two and a half years. And I know you're going to honor your pastor tonight, but our pastor wanted to say thank you as well. And so it says, presented to Pastor Kyle Haynes in recognition and appreciation for your 10 years of dedication, devotion, and sacrifice to God at the Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. May the Lord bless you as you continue to faithfully serve him. Presented by Dr. Paul Chappell, Lancaster Baptist Church, West Coast Baptist College, September 14th, 2014. Preacher, sure do love you, man. Congrats. You can take your Bibles. We're going to go to the book of Joshua tonight. That's where we'll start. And Brother Haynes, I remember in college we'd hear Dr. R say often, you measure faithfulness in decades. And so now we can measure you as faithful. So you finally made it to that point. And I appreciate the longevity. You don't build a strong church by staying a year or two and then moving on. You build a strong church by letting your people know that you're with them through the good times and the bad times. And in 10 years, you've had both. And I appreciate your faithfulness. And appreciate the church's faithfulness staying right here and honoring your pastor tonight. Tonight, I'm preaching primarily to Brother and Mrs. Haynes. I'm going to let everybody else sort of listen in on it. But tonight, I want to challenge them. And there's applications that I believe will be appropriate for us as well. And tonight, I'm basically entitling this message, Stay the Course. Stay the Course. 2001, we just celebrated an event in our history just last week, 9/11. And we met the face of evil. And our homeland was attacked. Shortly thereafter, most of us will remember then-president, commander-in-chief, standing in the sort of the rubbish piles of New York City, and he basically said, we will stay the course. We will do whatever it takes to get the job done. And regardless of what you feel about policies or whatever, we'll say this, he tried to keep his word. Yeah. Stay the course. But I want to use that phrase tonight in the context of ministry. Okay, 10 years, just the beginning. The best is yet to come. And if we didn't believe that, we might as well put a mausoleum out here instead of a church. But God's still working, isn't he? I don't know about you, but I sort of have this sneaking suspicion in 2014, the gospel still works. Still believe that. And so tonight, this phrase, stay the course, has an application for Pastor and Mrs. Haynes. Celebrate the 10 years, and then let's get to the next 10, and the next 10, and the next 10. Many of you will know from our staff, Brian Sams and Toby England. Teach there at our college. And Brother Sams is a runner. And he has ran quite a few half marathons. And along the journey, he's often asked me, hey, Brother Mike, why don't you train with me? Why don't you run with me? And I've often, this has been my answer. I don't have peace about it. That's been my answer. That's a spiritual answer. And it's the answers we hear from our students often. I don't have peace about it. And he just kept asking, relentlessly kept asking. And so finally, I said, you know what? Probably exercise at my stage of life, probably good. I probably should get a little exercise here and there. And so I said, I'm going to do it. And so I began training. And last April, I signed up for my first half marathon. 41 years old, and I was running my first half marathon. So we started at 6:30 in the morning, some ungodly hour on your day off to be running, down in Hollywood. A guy from my singles class said, I'd like to run with you. Brother Kyle, when he says he'd run with me, I thought that meant I paced. That's not the way it worked. He paced me, and we were running about 30 seconds per mile faster than what I'd been training, and I was dying. And we passed the first mile, and I felt good at the first mile, honestly. I felt really good. We were passing old people, and felt really good. Somebody with their walker zipped right by him. See you at the finish line. Right. And at the second mile, I felt good. I still felt good at 3 and 4 miles. At 5 miles, I felt great. 7 miles, I felt great. 8 miles, feeling a little slower. 9 miles, feeling a lot slower. At 10 miles, we started hitting some of the hills, and I was dying. And I wanted to just look at him. He said, look, hey, Mike, it's all in your head. And I sort of looked at him and said, you know, actually, it's in my back. It's in my legs. It's in my lungs. It's everywhere but my head. And he said, no, we can do this. And he said this, you've got to stay the course. And Brother Kyle, if I'd have stopped at the 10-mile marker, nobody would have remembered. I'd have had the marks in my body for 10 years, 10 miles. But no reward. No reward. The reward came when I crossed the finish line, and they're calling everybody's name. If you ever run a half marathon, it's pretty cool. I didn't know what to expect. And you cross the finish line, and now finishing it 2 hours and something minutes, Mike Lester, and my wife's over there. And I'm like, and honestly, I went and I just laid down. Just as soon as I crossed the fence, I just laid down on the sidewalk. And they're all taking pictures of me. They're putting it up on Facebook. I said, stop. I'm covering my face. I just didn't want to walk again. I said, I'm done. I'm just done. But when you cross, as soon as you cross, there's somebody meeting you there with a drink, and somebody meeting you with a banana, and somebody meeting you with this, and then they give you this medal. And it says that you're a finisher, not a starter, a finisher. And now you've started 10 years. Well, now we have to stay the course. And there's some principles we learn from the life of Joshua that helps us see that. So in Joshua chapter number 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. It's interesting in that verse. Moses is the servant of the Lord. Joshua is the servant of Moses. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. So you've just been promoted, basically. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, the great sea going down to the sun, it's yours. It shall be your coast. No one will be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. Then he says this promise in verse 5. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I'll be with thee. I'll not fail thee. I'll not forsake thee. Look at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Then the last verse, the last phrase, only be strong and of a good courage. And tonight I want to commemorate 10 years of running a course. And at the same time, I want to challenge you to run the next lap. Too many preachers are looking for ways out. I'm glad you found a way in. And Brother Haynes, I respect you. Remember, you're just a student. Remember those phone calls from L.A.? Hey, I was just reading through Romans. I was listening to Romans, and the conversation would begin. I loved it. Right then, you had a hunger for the Word of God. You've not lost it. You've not lost it. Remember your wife in Hebrews class? You never took it. But your wife did. Now your son Preston has. And Austin is committed to. I've signed him up today. And just that hunger for the Word of God. That's what allows someone to mark their time in decades, because they walk with God. Well, Kyle, you can make it 10 years on talent, but the next 10 years will take more than talent. It takes the power of God. And as we think about that, I want to give you four principles from the life of Joshua that I want all the church to hear, because we need it as well. If we stay the course, first of all tonight, it starts with a clear calling. A clear calling. No one in their right mind would choose to be a pastor. It's got to be a calling. I have in my family, my wife and I, we have 5 daughters. That translates to 5 weddings. That translates to even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's what that translates to. We're praying for the rapture at my house. And with daughters comes, there's another D word that comes with daughters. It's called drama. We have drama. And we have at our house, I've quit fighting it. I have now built a hair station. It's not for me. it's not for me. I built it for my wife and for my daughters, and there's this hair station out in the top stairs, the hallway upstairs, and it's got this long counter, and there's 4 plugs over here and 4 plugs over here and a huge mirror right here and a drawer for straighteners and a drawer for curlers and a drawer for this, and I don't even know what all they put in their hair. I really don't know. I really don't know. But I know this, trying to lead 5 daughters to have a heart for God, with all that drama, it's a full-time capacity. It really is. And your pastor does that for the hundreds. He only does that because God put a calling on his life. It has to start with a clear calling. I want you to think about Joshua. Let's think about what demonstrated his call to serve the Lord. When you look at the life of Joshua, when you sort of think of his resume, it sort of looks like this. Joshua knew how to be a soldier. Back in Exodus 17 is the first time we meet him, and Moses said, we've got to go fight Amalek, and so here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down there, Joshua. I want you to lead the armies, and I'm going to go up here, and I'm just going to hold my hands up. So Joshua's down there saying, yes, sir, Moses, that's what you want. That's what I'll do. He just learned to follow orders. By the way, that would help him later on to be a leader. He just knew how to be a soldier. He was a good soldier. Then you read later on, you come to Numbers 13. Not only did he know how to be a soldier, he knew how to be a spy. So what does that have to do? I don't know if it has anything to do with ministry. I just know he did it, you know. And so in Numbers 13, he's one of the ones chosen to go spy out the land. You know what that says about him? Moses thought he was faithful. Moses looked at him and said, that guy right there I can trust. And so Moses sent Joshua to be a spy. But when you come to Joshua 1, he's not remembered as a soldier. He's not remembered as a spy. Here's what he's remembered as: the servant. That's what God remembered. Brother Kyle, Miss Haynes, I appreciate the fact that you guys have demonstrated a servant heart to your people, to your family, to your friends. A servant spirit. So what can I do to help? This was what started Joshua's call to the ministry. He just wanted to serve people. Then you look at Moses and you look at Joshua. There are two different kinds of leaders. Moses and Joshua. Moses, here's his style of leadership. Lord, let's pray about this. Here's Joshua's style of leadership. Lord, let's kill them all. Two different styles. Moses, he led by praying, and Joshua led with a sword. They were two different styles of leadership, but both were spirit-filled. And I appreciate the fact that Moses didn't try to clone Joshua to be like him. You don't see Moses vesting authority in his son. Most people don't even know Moses' son's name. Moses vested authority in Joshua, and Numbers 27 tells us why. The Spirit of God was in him. And when you find somebody who has the hand of God on their life, that's who you want to be around. Brother Haynes, I appreciate the fact that you have a clear calling of God in your life and that you're staying the course. So number one, you want to stay the course? Clear calling. Number two, courageous conviction. 21st century mystery, it's almost a mystery. Ministry requires some courage. It really does. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but California is not the most Christian-friendly state. We're not necessarily passing laws to enable us to get the gospel out a little bit easier. Our state is a little bit antagonistic toward the gospel. And our state is not necessarily understanding, at least in our legislature, what it means to have a home and what's a marriage. Our state struggles with that. And many other states in our union have struggled with that as well. And for a pastor to stand up and say, here's what constitutes a biblical home, that takes courage today. And we live in so many families seem to be dominated by the wife who's leading the husband, and he's walking in tow, and you sort of see it. All you have to do is go to Walmart. That's all you have to do. Go to the mall. Say, what do you guys do on your family nights? We just go watch people. It's a lot of fun, really, it is. And look at that. Who do you think leads that family, girls? Oh, that's the mom leading that family. Yep, yep. And who do you think leads that family? Oh, look, that dad's in. Yeah, I like that. He's probably a Christian. He probably goes to Lancaster Baptist or something like that, you know. It takes conviction. It takes courage to stand up and say, this is what God's roles are for people. Just if you're going to preach the Bible, it takes courage. Because some people would say if you just preach the Bible line upon line, precept upon precept, they'd accuse you of hate crime sometimes. But you're just preaching the Word. God told you to preach the Word. To be instant in season, out of season. You're going to stay the course? Clear calling, absolutely. But courageous conviction. Joshua needed courage. Think about it, Brother Haynes. There was a fear of transition. Think about how long he was Moses' servant. 4 decades, at least. It's a long time. Right now, Brother Morris, I think it's been 9 years, right at it. So right now, if Brother Morris messes up, it's Brother Haynes' fault. Yeah, if Brother Haynes is going to cover for him, not in the staff meeting, but, you know, in front of the public, he's going to say, "And my fault, people, but as soon as we get in the staff meeting, I want to figure out whose fault it was, you know, whatever." But he's second. He can fail, and he's sort of under the protection of Brother Haynes, but Brother Haynes doesn't have that luxury. He's the one who's going to give an account for what takes place at this pulpit right here. And there's that transition. Before you were a pastor 10 years ago, you were an assistant pastor, and you could sort of let somebody else sort of lead, and you said, well, if that's what the pastor wants to do, I don't know, you know, okay, we'll do it. Now you're the pastor. And whatever happens, you give an account for it. And It takes courageous conviction. And Joshua understood that fear of transition. And so many times in chapter 1, you hear God saying, be strong, good courage. Verse 18, the people sort of find out real quickly they want to follow Joshua. Look at what they say in verse 18. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against your commandment, Joshua, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put him to death. We don't probably use that as our model for church leadership today. Can you imagine the deacons coming to Brother Haynes? All right, preacher, whoever's not following you, we're going to take him outside, going to put him to death right after church. You can come watch if you want. It's probably not the way we'd do it. And I don't know that they ever did, but here's what I think they're trying to say to Joshua. Hey, okay, you're new. We was with Moses for a long time, but hey, Joshua, we're with you. By the way, church, I hope you've communicated that to your pastor, not just on special days, but every week. Pastor, we're with you. Pastor, whatever God's put on your heart, be strong, be of good courage. Do it. We're right here with you. Now, don't tell them you're going to go kill somebody if they cause trouble. But the point being, just let them know you're in his corner. It takes courageous conviction to be a man of God today. The fear of transition. How about this? The fear of unknown. For 40 years, all he's known is the desert. Now he wants to tell people about Canaan. For 40 years, he's fought serpents and grumblers. Now he's got to fight giants. For 40 years, he's had to live with the consequence of unbelief. Now he wants to show them the reward of faith. What's it going to take to get that done? Courage. Conviction. 10 years, we've made it thus far. Going to make it the next 10 years? Clear calling. Courageous conviction. I want you to notice the third principle from Joshua's life. Correct character. Correct character. I won't take the time to go through the book of Joshua tonight, but I'll say this. When you read through the book of Joshua, you'll find very quickly his discipline. He rose often, you'll read these, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and Joshua rose early in the morning. I mean, he's a man who just walked with God. He gave his mornings to the Lord. He was disciplined in that. Sometimes I teach a class at 7:30 in the morning, and sometimes freshmen think 7:30, God's not even up yet. And they come in, shirt's not ironed, shirt's not even tucked in sometimes. The tie is sort of crooked, hair's not combed, they're running in, their eyes are like this. Okay, brothers, I'm here to learn the Old Testament. 5 minutes later, they're praying for me. And I appreciate that spiritual spiritual hunger right there, you know. I just want to let you know, I'm with you, Brother Lester. I'm with you. I'm with you. But Joshua, 7:30, I mean, I imagine he'd already been up for several hours because the Bible said he was up at dawn. He was up at the first light. He was just up spending time with God. He gave his mornings to God. He was a disciplined man. Not only his discipline, I want you to notice, secondly, his devotion. Talking about his character. His character said, I'm going to be a man of discipline. I'm going to be a man of devotion. The man knew how to worship. Oh, yeah, he knew how to work. Yeah, he got a lot accomplished with his life. Brother Haynes, you'll get a lot accomplished as well. But never let worship be put on a back burner to work. Develop that heart. Keep that heart fresh. Here, his discipline, then his devotion. In Joshua chapter number 5, he meets somebody with a sword. And I love Joshua's approach. He just walks up to the guy and says, all right, are you with me or with them? I need to know right now. And the guy says, it's neither, actually. I'm here as the captain of the Lord's host. And the real question is, are you with me? Oh, let me worship. And he got down very quickly in worship. He knew how to worship. I believe God blessed that in his life. You know, we talk about Joshua being Moses' right-hand man for 40 years in the wilderness, but the book of Joshua takes 20 to 25 years to record the events that take place in this book. So that means Joshua was a faithful man of God for 60-plus years, at least. And we picture him as maybe, you know, like he's 35 when he dies. No, no. He's been at it for a while. He's a man who has served God with his life. He had a correct character. Brother Haynes, I would challenge you, don't hide behind talent. You got talent. Character. I can hear Brother Weaver now. Character! You know, character. Got to have it. When you look at the qualifications of a man of God in 1 Timothy chapter 3, pretty strong ones. First one, blameless. That word carries a picture of no handles. There's nothing in your life that someone can just reach down and pull down because of the life you've lived. Oh, man, that's frightening. That's the position that you got to make sure you have a calling for. If you don't have a calling, you don't want that scrutiny. And your pastor has said to you for the last 10 years, God's called me. He's called me to serve him, and he's called me to lead you. And he's had that clear calling, and he's had that courageous conviction, and he's got that correct character. And I want to give you one final thought. You're going to stay the course. It's kept by a compassionate commitment. You keep it fresh by a compassionate commitment. You hear the story, the guy said, I'd love the ministry if it wasn't for all those people. The ministry is not paperwork. It's people work. with all of their troubles, with all of their blessings. I teach a singles class, and I remember Pastor Mike Ray, or maybe it was Brother Tim Rule, who said this, the gospel light attracts all kind of bugs. And what he meant by that was you have all kinds of people in a local church, all kinds. You have some people who've been saved their entire life. They've read the Bible through 80 times. You have some people who said, open your Bible to the book of, make something up, you know, Elvis, and they're looking for it. First Elvis, you know, they're just looking for it. Is that in the Bible? And then they look around, oh, nobody else is looking. Huh. That was funny. They don't even know. And then you have some people that were raised sort of in a Christian environment, and some people who, like, they're just learning that, you know, maybe, you know, they know they're not supposed to cuss in the church, but outside they thought it was okay. And so at your church softball league, you sort of have to pull some people aside sometimes. Hey, brother, let me teach you some new Christian cuss words, something like that. Yeah. The gospel just attracts all kinds of people, doesn't it? By the way, we're glad that it does. We're glad that it does. When I was growing up, I grew up in the state of Georgia. My dad's a pastor. My granddad was a pastor. And I really thought that I would skip a generation. I thought when God began to work on my heart about preaching, I said, no, look, God, my granddad's a preacher, and my dad's a preacher, and many of my uncles are preachers. And if you want to skip a generation, I think we can probably carry it through for a little while. And so let's just skip a generation. God almost spoke to me something like this. All right, so yes, your granddad's a preacher, and yes, your dad's a preacher, and yes, many of your uncles are preachers, but a lot of your uncles are in prison. Which side of the family are you going on? And prison ministry was not an option. And God began to work with me and work on my heart. And as I work with people, I don't ever want to lose the compassion. I want to keep a heart for people. Keep a tender heart. I want to be committed to the cause. And you see this in Joshua's life. By the time you come to the end, he's been at it for 60-plus years, and you can still hear him admonishing the people. Hey, look, guys, I'm getting ready to go, but I've chosen. I've made my choice. I know who I'm going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What are you going to do today? He had that commitment, and he still had that compassion to help other people make that commitment as well. And I just say this, Brother Haynes, as we celebrate 10 years, if you're going to stay the course, don't lose sight of that calling. Sometimes that'll be what gets you through. I'm here because God called me. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. And he's just began to do it. You've just seen the tip of the iceberg. So much more he wants to do. Don't ever lose hold of that courage and that conviction to be just a strong preacher with grace, with grace. Don't lose your credentials of that thing called character. And don't lose that heart of a shepherd. Someone said it best, a shepherd smells like sheep. He does. And I challenge you, as you celebrate 10 years of ministry, and as you mark off this milestone, stay the course and let God mark off a few more. Father, thank you tonight for an opportunity to challenge a man of God who now